This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to welcome back to today's program Mr. W.J. Simmons of Jackson, Mississippi. Bill Simmons is administrator of the Citizens Councils of America and editor of the movement's official monthly magazine, The Citizen. Bill, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Dick. It's good to be back.
Getting to the subject of today's program, Bill, the fall term of the United States Supreme Court is just getting underway, and it's being widely said that this term holds promise of being a very interesting one. Do you agree?
Yes, I certainly do agree. I think it bids fair to be one of the most interesting sessions in quite a while.
Well, Bill, what are some of the cases which the Supreme Court will be called upon to decide during this term?
Some of the cases, Dick, which I think will attract the most public attention involve the recently passed Civil Rights Act, and more particularly the controversial public accommodation section of the Act. In this respect, there are two cases involved, one from Atlanta, Georgia, one from Birmingham, Alabama, each tried before three-judge courts and resulting in directly opposite decisions. In Georgia, the court declared the public accommodation section was constitutional. In Alabama, a different three-judge court declared it was not constitutional.
To clarify matters somewhat for persons not entirely familiar with federal court procedure, this three-judge federal court is used whenever the constitutionality of a law is directly being challenged. Is this correct?
That's correct. It's a special provision for trying cases of this far-reaching a nature.
And as I recall, the court in Georgia heard two cases from Atlanta, one concerning a motel, the other concerning a cafeteria. The court in Alabama heard a case concerning a restaurant.
That's correct.
Well, Bill, in your opinion, I know you have been a close student of the Supreme Court in recent years and of the various federal courts. How could two three-judge federal panels, so close together, one in Atlanta, the other in Birmingham, rule exactly opposite one another on the constitutionality of this public accommodation section?
Well, Dick, it might be a brave man who would try to attempt to explain any such in a subjective matter like that. But there were involved, in addition to the different factors of the way different men look at things, slightly different facts in these cases.
Bill, I believe that these cases even went so far as in Atlanta, for example, they ruled that if the restaurant operator in Atlanta ordered some food from an Atlanta distributor, but the food originated in another state, then he was in interstate commerce for this reason. And in Alabama, the court took possibly a more historic stand that as long as the dealer and the buyer were both in the same state, and for this particular case, even in the same city, that it left interstate commerce when it arrived in Birmingham. The seller then selling it to the restaurant operator was not in an act of interstate commerce.
Yes, I believe that is correct. It reminds one of the seemingly far-fetched definition of interstate commerce that was arrived at a number of years ago in another Supreme Court decision involving elevator operators. They were found to be in interstate commerce because passengers riding on the elevators might have come from another state. I know this type of definition seems very far-fetched to the average person who conducts his affairs by a rule of thumb and by common sense, but on such slight differences, great questions of law do seem to turn.
Why is this entire question of the constitutionality of the public accommodation section of the Civil Rights Act such an important matter?
Dick, it's so important because it literally means the difference between economic life and death for thousands of small businessmen, and some large businessmen, too. It is extremely important.
Well, why is this true?
You mean why is it the difference between life and death economically?
Yes, well, what is so important about this section that it could make the difference between staying in business or going broke?
Well, it means this difference, that it is an established fact that regardless of what people say they believe, and regardless of what section of the country they live in, the white people of the United States have demonstrated over and over and over that they simply will not enter integrated situations involving large numbers of colored people. They simply will not do it. Therefore, if a restaurant or a hotel is exposed to the operation of the public accommodations of the Civil Rights Act, and if large numbers of colored people take advantage of it, it means that his white customers simply will leave him. And he will either have to adjust himself to a colored business, a Negro business, or quit.
Well, Bill, are there any signs that some of those who backed the Civil Rights Act, or at least who said they did, who voted for it, are now wishing that the Supreme Court would sort of take them off the hook by ruling this public accommodation section to be unconstitutional?
Yes, Dick, I expect if the truth were known, there would be many who voted for it, particularly those who voted reluctantly, who would be very happy to be let off the hook. Our listeners may recall that at the time the Civil Rights Bill was being debated, it was openly claimed by responsible members of Congress that if a secret vote were taken, the Civil Rights Act wouldn't get a hatful of votes.
There's another point that has been raised in this issue of constitutionality of the public accommodation section, and that is the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution and its ban on involuntary servitude. Just exactly how has this question been raised?
It has been raised by Lester Maddox of the Pickrick Cafeteria in this Atlanta case, which we've been discussing a bit previously. It was disposed of in his original case by the court, which ruled that the Pickrick Cafeteria was a corporation, and as such, being not a flesh and blood person, but a legal person, was not subject to the conditions of involuntary servitude. However, now, Lester Maddox is operating as the Lester Maddox Cafeteria in his own individual person, so that he himself, as a man, would be subjected to involuntary servitude by requiring to perform services against his will. And this raises directly the challenge to the 13th Amendment, which of course makes illegal slavery.
Well, Bill, I know that this question is on the minds of a lot of people, particularly those outside the South who are listening to this broadcast. Don't you believe that every American, be he white or Negro, should be able to travel throughout the country and be able to get a meal or a place to stay?
Dick, the fact of the matter is that he can. A person can get a meal, or he can get accommodations within reason wherever he chooses to stay. Now, of course, you and I know everyone listening to this program, has traveled many times, and he's been disappointed when he's come across a likely-looking motel that had a no-vacancy sign. Well, we don't feel inclined to make a federal case out of it. We may be disappointed, but we go on and find somewhere else to stay. The fact is that in the South, due to its sizable Negro population, there are very satisfactory Negro motels and restaurants operated by Negroes for Negroes. It's a very interesting thing here, Dick, to point out as a sidelight, that one sees along southern highways signs advertising say, for example, the XYZ motel for colored only. Now, this is a fairly common sight, or such and such a restaurant for colored only. I dare say if a white restaurant did such a thing as that, its operator would be hauled into court before the paint was dry on the sign. The fact is that one never sees such things advertising for whites.
Which would lead me to this concluding question. We've been discussing this public accommodation section from the standpoint of the white businessman, but isn't there a possibility that it might cut both ways? What about the Negro motel operator in the Deep South who has a lot of money, perhaps most of his available capital tied up in his business, and who's been doing business quite satisfactorily and offering satisfactory accommodations to his colored clientele over the years? Isn't he more likely to be hit even than the white operator?
Yes, he certainly would be. And this is a fact which the fanatical proponents of the Civil Rights Bill in Congress seem to have given no thought to. But the fact is that he is, the colored businessman is very likely to be the first to suffer. As a matter of fact, I recall having seen in the papers not too long ago that there was complaint from many Negro businessmen in Detroit against the integrationist organizations because they were hurting their business.
Bill, thank you very much for being with us. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Mr. W.J. Simmons of Jackson, Mississippi, administrator of the Citizens Councils of America and editor of the movement's official monthly magazine, The Citizen. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.